Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, the most passionate and authentic wrestling analysis on the web. We've got you covered with every Raw, SmackDown, and NXT show, giving you a no bullshit opinion. We know you love wrestling. We do too. So let's get this show underway.
And that's the bottom line. What? The Stone Cold Sister!
Oh, yes, everybody. We are live, as live can be, right here, Blog Talk Radio, taking your calls, taking your comments, taking your complaints. We are like the customer service of professional wrestling. So thank you, everybody. I do see some people on hold, so we will get to you momentarily, but welcome to the WWE Podcast right here live for the first time in quite a while, which means I have no safety net, which means if I screw up, I can't do a thing about it because it's live. So how about that? You should see the amount of times that I mess up and have to pause and re-edit and re-record. So here we go. This is the WWE Podcast without a safety net. So welcome to those listeners that are brand new and those that are longtime listeners. Thank you so much for your loyalty. We are here tonight to discuss anything wrestling related, particularly this week, right? Survivor Series just wrapped up, Monday Night Raw to follow, and things are moving. And I think in a very good direction in a lot of ways. And I alluded to this on my Monday Night Raw review last night, that I think there's some good feuds, good programs coming along right now. It feels fresher than it has in quite a while. And I think that's due to some programs ending and new ones beginning, as well as the Survivor Series pay-per-view itself that is done and gone and buried, no pun intended, to The Undertaker, I guess. But it is now fresh start where we can get back to regularly scheduled programming, right? Survivor Series is like putting everything on hold, and now we are back to your normal programming. That's exactly what we are now. And yes, we have TLC. Not my favorite pay-per-view of the year either. It's very gimmicky, but at least we're back on track with normal storylines progressing, and we can forget all the best versus the best and brand versus brand and all that nonsense. We are back to, again, some type of normalcy in wrestling storylines as we really look to the Royal Rumble, which is where I'm really looking next. And yes, we can kind of play it out to WrestleMania with some things going on, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts, and we're going to get them in a minute. But also, the voicemails. So I have voicemails that I will be doing kind of in a separate part of this show. And I don't think I'll be doing those live. I have yet to figure out how to actually do that, as I got them sent to me via a voicemail or box. And now I'm trying to figure out how to put it on live. But that will be a part of this show on our normal feed. So I'll kind of morph the live show here and our actual voicemails into one single show that will be on the feed later tonight. So that is that I'm looking forward to. It's really a show for you guys. And I apologize for the Survivor Series mix up with my show. It was my first time going live in, my gosh, like a year and a half, maybe more. And it's the computer spit the bit. The server seemed to not work. It was just a disaster. And I was not happy. I literally almost threw my computer. It was not good. But I'm glad that you guys are with us tonight. I'm glad that you are here to talk wrestling, because that's what we're all here for. And one quick thing, and we're going to get to calls, is that tomorrow is NXT review. And then we have a lot of cool stuff coming. Friday's rivalries, and also New Japan Pro Wrestling, if you're into that, or maybe we can get you into that. And then Saturday is a brand new show from our brand new host here on the WWE Podcast, Mimi Burris. You heard her here introduced Saturday night. It was the night before the pay-per-view, doing the Survivor Series preview. And she will be joining or doing her own show Sunday nights with the highs and lows of the week. So I'll be also dropping my week in review. So good Lord, there's a lot of shows coming your way the rest of the week. And happy Thanksgiving, by the way, to those of you that may be listening to this on Thanksgiving Day, or are maybe you don't celebrate it, but if you do in the United States, you know, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you're all staying happy, healthy, safe, and we're all getting through this in a very weird Thanksgiving, right? Everything's just weird this year. So, okay, I think it's time for calls. So let's go to our first caller, and that is, and I think I have a feeling, even though I've never spoken to this individual live, I have a very interesting feeling on exactly who this is, but let's see if I'm right. Maybe I'm completely wrong. So I'm going to put this person on the air, and 631, please state your name and the city you're calling from.
So I assume you could hear me and you're talking to me there, Matt.
Yes, sir.
All right. This is Anthony. I'm from Long Island. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, how's it going?
From a couple years ago?
I didn't forget. Absolutely. How you doing?
Doing great, man. I'm actually really excited that I got on tonight. Been kind of looking forward to it all day. Left you a voicemail the other day. Don't know if you got it yet, but I love those new shows that you do in the mailbags. They're really awesome. Get
oh,
a lot
you.
Of perspectives from different fans.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is, as you may remember, I kind of a new, you know, born again, let's just say, a wrestling fan, and I'm fascinated by the relationships outside of the WWE. So, for example, like Bianca Belair and Montez Ford, they're married, right? Aleister mm-hmm. Black and, you know, Zelina Vega, and how they kind of worked that in there. And one of the things I was thinking about is, and I wanted to ask you, Montez Ford. I think the guy is incredible athlete, incredibly talented. He's going to be a star. Bianca Belair, same thing. Who's going to have the bigger career in the WWE? Who's going to be around the longest? Who's going to be a legend? I think one, if not both of them, can be. And I'm just curious to kind of see what your thoughts are on them. Again, me kind of as a somewhat new wrestling fan.
Mm, that's a good question. And they right now seem to be paralleling one another in their own divisions. Like you have Montez Ford, who is clearly the star of the Street Profits. There's no question about it. And you have Bianca Belair, who is kind of an up-and-coming star in the making. You can see it. You can see it coming a mile away. And they've been showing signs of her being spotlighted in the last few weeks or so. And she had a really good showing last year at the Royal Rumble as well, eliminating I forget how many women. So I think if you're going to put me on the spot and you're going to say which one ultimately has a bigger career – I would say, and this is hard to say, but I would probably say Montez Ford, only because, and again, this is all going to be 2020 at some point, but I think that his athleticism is off the page. I think it's even at a level higher than the average WWE performer. I think that his athleticism is in a new stratosphere as far as his vertical height ability. His charisma is also insanely tangible. He's got a very magnetic personality, whether you love him or don't. I'm in the camp that really doesn't, but I still want to watch him. So I think ultimately he probably has a quote better career, but on the flip side, Bianca Belair, there's a lot there. She looks different. She wrestles different. She talks different. She's got a lot going for her. And I don't think she's even really gotten started yet. So I don't know if that answers it, but what do you think?
Yeah, you know, I kind of agree with you. I mean, Montez Ford is – I'm a little biased. I'm a former Marine. I know he was in the Marine Corps. Had to get that in there, you know what I'm saying? But he really is just unbelievable. He's on a different – level when it comes to watching him in the ring. I think he's would be much better off having a singles career, but Bianca Belair, there's just something about her. There's just something unique about her that I really think if they give her a push, she can have a bright future. And I just think it's so cool how they could be like the power couple of the WWE in a few years, that I just think they both have such unlimited potential. And, you know, they're married. Is there anybody else in the history of the WWE that has had that dynamic, that kind of came up together at the same time?
Triple H and Stephanie?
And that were married? Yeah, but wasn't that kind of more organic where, you know, that wasn't from the beginning, right? That kind of happened like during their careers?
Maybe yeah, it happened. Yeah, no, it happened, I would say, for Triple H when they started their storyline in 99. That's when Triple H was still a DX, but just about to break out on his own. And Stephanie had just kind of been introduced to the wrestling audience as Vince McMahon's daughter, and she was abducted by Undertaker and all that. And so that's kind of where it started. Like, and Stephanie, really, to her defense, wasn't ever a true wrestler in the sense of every week wrestling. She was more of Triple H's sidekick at times, but in her own right was a very strong personality. So yeah, I mean, there are similarities there, but I see what you're saying.
I got a minute for another quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Good deal. All right. So Seth Rollins, I mean, I've listened to your podcasts and, you know, he's been getting, he hasn't been getting the respect lately. And I think it's because obviously, you know, he's going to be taking a break soon for his personal life, you know, having a baby and whatnot. But when he comes back, do you think they're going to continue this with him, or do you think he's going to get a push towards the top again? As you know, he really is such a dynamic superstar, and it really is. It's interesting to see him. When I got back into wrestling, it was literally the day that. That Roman Reigns announced he had cancer. That was like the first, I think it was Raw that I had seen since the 80s. So that's the span of me watching the WWE, and Seth Rollins since that time frame he's been like the top star. And now to kind of see him where he's at now. And again, I understand that I think, you know, creative is trying to just kind of give him an easy, soft exit. But what do you think? You think when he comes back, they'll repackage him and he'll go to the top, whether as a heel or a babyface?
I hope so. I mean, I've been really disappointed with what they've done with him over the last 4 to 5 months. I mean, ever since he lost to Kevin Owens at WrestleMania, I don't think that he's really been the same. And if you're going to go back further, after he lost AOP, I mean, when AOP went down with injuries, I think that really hurt him because they were the perfect fit for his character, kind of the heavies and the protection for Rollins. And that was gone, and he was on his own. He was a messiah with no disciples. And then Murphy came along, and Murphy kind of came and went and was enemies and then not, and he didn't know where he stood, and now it's been a hard break. So Seth Rollins is really kind of a ship lost at sea. He feels directionless, and I don't like that. I do. So to answer your question, I don't know if it could be completely repackaged. WWE tends to stick with this safe zone of whatever worked in the past, they'll continue to try to do instead of taking a chance. But if he comes back as the Messiah, I would like a darker, more sinister, not fiend-like, but in his own way, a guy that actually has disciples so he can call himself the Messiah. It's very hard to have a gimmick calling yourself the Messiah when you can't back it up. So, you know, yeah, I hope that he comes back stronger, tweaked a bit, not completely repackaged into a whole new character, but stays heel. That's key. I'm a big fan of the heel Seth Rollins, and has people with him with a darker character. It immediately makes an impact and attacks the champion, like the Universal Champion. That is what I hope happens. Maybe he aligns himself with Roman Reigns. Yeah.
I agree. I think it's such a great character, this Messiah. There's so much they could do with it. He plays the role wonderful. But you're right. He needs disciples. I'm watching, you know, and everybody, you know, is turning on him. He's all by himself. It just doesn't fit the script. And I think hopefully that's what they're going to do. Him saying, you know, when, you know, in Survivor Series, when he sacrifices himself, it's for the greater good. So it sounds like they're kind of, you know, planting some seeds for future storylines with him, you know, in this role. And I just think that would be really cool if they do that. And I'm hopeful for that. I'm hopeful for that, you know. Let him go have his baby. Let him get woken up at, you know, 3, 4, 5 a.m. every morning, and then he'll come back, hopefully, a newly refreshed man, and it'll be cool to see Becky back as well. So,
Exactly. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Becky back as well. I have no idea. I haven't heard anything. I've been trying to look around to see what the time frame may be for when Becky is going to return. I don't think she knows. I think until she has the baby, hopefully, God willing, everything goes well for both of them. and you know, happy, healthy baby. And maybe he's back in a couple of months, and she comes back later in the summer. I mean, that is probably what I'm thinking. I think though that it would be hard pressed for him to miss WrestleMania, right? So if she has the baby in a month, which I believe she's due in December, then that gives him a couple of months to still be with her through February, stay at home, recharge his batteries, enjoy his wife and his kid, and then come back in time for WrestleMania. I really have a hard time believing that he would miss WrestleMania. But Becky, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm sorry?
Yeah. Especially if there's fans.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, if there's fans in the stand, you know, I mean, how can you miss that? Especially, you know, after the year that we've been through. I bet you all these wrestlers can't wait to have, you know, fans again to feed off the energy and whatnot.
You know, I was thinking about that. As much as the fans, us, we complain about no fans in the arena, which obviously isn't anyone's fault. But, you know, we've always said, like, oh, man, it'd be so much better with fans there. And, you know, that, what would the fans have reacted to with this and this and this? I think that we are only feeling a fraction of what the wrestlers are, because they live off of that. That's why they became the wrestlers that they are. That's why they dedicated their lives to being professional wrestlers. You live off the crowd. And when you take the soul out of it for them, it's really hard, I'm sure, for them to do. And they've been faking it pretty well. I mean, they've done a really good job, I got to say, over the last 8 months or so, of at least pretending that everything is okay. And I am appreciative of that. And I think that they've done as good of a job as we could have expected. But, man, I always think about that. I'm like, hey, we always complain as fans, but I'm sure the wrestlers are even in a more tough spot.
Yeah, I agree with you. I can't wait to go back to a live show. I did about 4 or 5 live shows in 2 years. Like, I really went all in on this, and I miss it. But you have filled that void. I'll just give you a shout out quick. You know, I've sampled other podcasts when I started getting into this again, and it just hands down, you're the best in the business. You have a great radio voice. You're knowledgeable. You care about the fans. And thank you. I just wanted to appreciate that, because I always look forward to getting your podcast. I listen to them, and I'm an educated consumer, and it makes my viewing more enjoyable when I kind of know what's going on. So, Matt, thank you, man. I'm thrilled that you did this show today, and looking forward to being a part of the show in the future. I'll annoy you with a couple of mailbags here and there, and any live show, you'll be getting a call from me.
Awesome. Well, Anthony, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. I'm glad that you were able to call in. I'm glad that I'm a small part of your wrestling experience, able to give you that knowledge that I guess that you crave and that I think we all should have when we're watching wrestling. Anytime we're watching wrestling, especially, I think we should be as educated as we can. I don't feel like I'm the smartest in the business. And I'm a passionate fan that's on here talking to other passionate fans. And I appreciate that. And I hope that you have a great Thanksgiving, and you and your family enjoy and are safe. So Anthony, thank you so much for calling in. And we're going to kind of transition a little bit into the Survivor Series. I want to just touch on the Survivor Series pay-per-view quickly and things that I didn't really touch or dive deep into on the pay-per-view review that I did with the Botch Guy, which, by the way, if you haven't checked out, everyone, go check out the Botch Guy on YouTube. Great, great, passionate fan, just like myself, except he does video. I do audio. So maybe I'll dive into video a little bit more sometime. But by the way, if anybody wants to call in, the lines are open. 516-387-1528. And you press 1 and you're able to get into the calling queue. So just a little bit of a heads up for those out there that may be listening and want to chat. So the Survivor Series pay-per-view, I got to say, the wrestling quality, as I said, was top notch. I really enjoyed the wrestling. I don't know about the rest of you guys. The wrestling was probably the best part of the show. And that often doesn't happen for me. I'm a big story guy. I'm a big wrestling in ring comes second to the story that's going on, because I don't care what these guys are doing in the ring if I don't have a reason to care about the characters themselves. So I just wanted to point out, like, that sometimes the wrestling can make up for the lack of a story. So I'm not backtracking on my belief, but I'm also conceding to the fact that, yes, you can still have a great wrestling match and you can bring fans into a match that you may not have otherwise cared so much about. And an example of that would be the New Day versus the Street Profits at Survivor Series. I mean, you talk about a really, really good match. You talk about a match that from start to finish, I mean, it brought you into the match. It brought you in and it made you care about the performers in the ring, even though there wasn't technically a quote heel on that particular matchup. There were elements of the story. Like, you had these four professionals in the ring in there able to tell a story from start to finish, even though the story, let's be honest, was weak, right? The story itself was making jokes at each other, doing kind of backhanded compliments, doing the whole gyrating and the whole, just nonsensical promos on one another. It wasn't anything special. It was just the tag teams versus the tag team champions versus the tag team champions. So, sometimes guys, as much as I may say story is important, and it is, as it is, a perfect example of when it's not super important is when you have ultra talented guys in the ring. With the example I just gave you of the tag team match on Sunday, that is when it doesn't matter so much. And it's just a testament to all four guys. Now, this is the exception and not the rule, right? Because the exception is having guys that are so talented, they can work through a story that doesn't exist. And this is a perfect example of that, where you don't have a story and you were able to work through it and make fans care about what's going on. So, all right. Well, guys, I want to also, again, if you want to call in, 516-387-1528. If there are no other calls, I will wrap the show and do voicemails on the side. So in the next minute or so, again, if anybody wants to chime in, you get in the caller queue. That is the number, 516-387-1528, and press 1 on your phone, on your dial pad, your keypad on your phone. So, well, guys, that I think then will do it. I have a ton of voicemails to get to. So I'll continue to do these live shows, right? I'm going to continue to do them through pay-per-views, I think is where I'll start the live shows at the pay-per-views. And maybe I will continue to do this on a Wednesday. I know it's Nostalgia Night, so maybe I'll kind of do a dual show of sorts, or just do separate shows with Nostalgia and do the Mailbag show. Okay. I think that pretty much wraps it up. You guys know the schedule the rest of the week. Anthony, thank you for calling in. This was everyone's opportunity, and I will have many more. Stay tuned to my Instagram at WWE_podcast, and head over to the my Twitter feed at wrestling_audio and WWE_podcast on Instagram. That is where you'll see when I post about upcoming shows, live shows just like this on Blog Talk Radio. So if anybody has any questions, you can also email me at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. So I think that'll do it for me, guys. And I'll be doing a mailbag version of this show with all the voicemails, and there's a ton of them attached to this quick little live show. So thank you guys for listening. As always, I'll talk to you next time.